everyone in the organization should know the answers or an appropriate response, let's go with that, to these three questions.
Yep. And if you come to the boot camp, we'll give them to you.
There you go.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to episode 388 of the Help Me with HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Happy New Year.
Yeah, we'll go with that. yeah, we don't have to have that, you know, feeling of magic, do we? In our
no.
Okay.
Good. No, that's usually gas.
we'll just let that one be, because that would there's so many things that come to mind, and
I'm sure
it's not the way we need to start the new year is a whole discussion on that. Like, although, you know, at the rate the previous years have gone, who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it would be a worthy one.
Well, for at least two entities, I'm sure they probably felt that way when they got their OCR letters. Because uh-huh. they're going to be talking about two settlements that came in. Right mm-hmm. near the end of the year. And, you know, I was wondering last week as we were recording, we were talking about our predictions. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, the year before, OCR kind of threw a whole bunch at us like the last week of the year, something like that, last week or two of the year. I was like, I wonder if they'll do it again. And, like, I didn't even get off the podcast good. And, like, two came out.
I think one literally came out while we were recording last week.
Yeah. And I was waiting on more, but more hasn't come yet as of this recording. But we are going to talk about the two that did come out and talk about what happened so that you can avoid it in the new year.
Well, and that's really what we want for everyone, is to avoid it every year.
Yep. But what we do not want you to avoid is the PriceSec boot camp.
No, we do not.
It's coming up. It is coming up quick, too.
That's right.
And, it's going to be March 12, 13, 14, and 15 in Louisville, Kentucky. Did I say that right?
Louisville.
Not Louisville.
Louisville.
Louisville. Yeah. So if you're interested in coming, please get your tickets now because they are running out. We do have limited space. It's not a sales ploy. We actually rented limited space.
So. Yeah. I mean, the room is a really nice space, but it only has so many chairs that fit in it, literally.
Yeah.
No room to expand because it's a very special space for us.
I know. I was talking to somebody the other day about something, and I made a comment like, it's going up in January. And I was like, oh my God, I sound like a salesperson. I'm like, no, it's not a ploy. It really is going up in January. Yeah, you know, you love those. That, you know, it's the last one. It reminds me years ago when I worked at a bar. It's every Friday and Saturday night at about 1 o'clock in the morning, the owner would always come out and get on the microphone and said, we've got one more case of beer left and that's it. And then everybody would rush to the bar and buy a beer. We had beer stacked up to the ceiling. And he'd come back out, I found one more case of beer, and everybody run to the bar.
If you know how to work the crowd, do it.
Yeah, it was the whole scarcity model just in, you know, working.
Well, we do have some scarcity. And if you haven't signed up, now is the time. Go to priceacbootcamp.com and claim your seat. There is going to be a lot happening. There is no way you can come here and not learn something.
Yeah. You're going to go back, not with just what you should be doing, but how you should do it. Mm-hmm. That, to me, that's the key. I mean, I spent a lot of money learning what to do and then walk away going, okay, now what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. How can I actually make this happen? Where is an example of this? We're going to give you that. We're going to give you an example of a desktop exercise. You're actually going to do it. You know, we're going to give you a lot of stuff. So come join us. It's hard work, but it's also entertaining.
Yeah, it will definitely be both. And you might have a chance of getting some bourbon while you're down there.
That's definitely happening. Definitely. Definitely. Certainly.
Yep. All right. Thanks again to our donors and those who keep us on the air and away from the FTC. But, speaking of FTC, part of our HIPAA Say What is the FTC came out with a new tool that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So you just run right into that.
How do you like that?
Yeah. No break, no segue, no nothing. But, oh, wow. Look. There was a fly.
Squirrel.
Yes, for HIPAA, say what? We wanted to let you know that their FTC, now, yes, I know it's HIPAA and the FTC, but FTC come after you for HIPAA stuff that you don't even, it happens. But they have released a mobile health app interactive tool that allows people that have these, if you have an app, really, you know, they got it as mobile health app. But if you have any kind of app that you're going to have personal health information in, not necessarily protected health information, not necessarily PHI, it may or may not be, then you should go to this tool, which we, of course, will have a link to in the show notes on the website. Go to the tool, and it helps you figure out which ones of the privacy and security kind of regulations would apply to your app.
Cool. Takes a lot of guesswork out.
Wait, yeah, and a lot of arguing from me. Yeah, I just go, look, let's don't argue about it. Let's just go to the FTC tool.
I can see you now. Yeah, you do. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. No, I don't.
I'm clicking right here. You go ahead and make the argument to the FTC. I'll wait.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
I'll just put that right there. I'll see you later.
Not only will I wait, but we'll talk about you on the podcast when it goes south.
So, you know, it's supposed to help the developers figure out what rules, but I know folks that create internal apps that they're using and they don't really think about the requirements that it has for, you know, the internal apps for security. And too often they bring it to me to review at the end. And I get to ask so many questions that they're like, well, no, we didn't think of that. No, we didn't think of that. No, we didn't. Okay, well, see you next time. go back to the drawing board.
They have to pay your asking too late fee. It could have paid your asking early fee.
Yeah, the fees are all the same except for drop everything. I need you to do this right now. That's a whole new fee structure.
Yeah, yeah, the right now fees.
Yeah, but it did include in their announcement and on the page. Here's the section that. And it made me think of, hey, we have to have that on all of our documents. We have it even at the end of this podcast. Something simpler, similar to this. Ours is much more simple than this. An important caveat, it says, this tool is not offering legal advice and is provided for informational purposes only. Using this tool isn't required by federal law and can't guarantee compliance with applicable federal requirements. Instead, it's meant to give you a snapshot of potential compliance obligations and point you to educational materials and best practices for delivering safe, accurate services while safeguarding the privacy and security of consumer information. Basically, it's the same thing we say. Look, we're not lawyers. We're not giving you legal advice. And if you screw up, don't blame us.
Ain't my fault. It's the ain't my fault clause.
don't call me clause. Yeah, yeah. But you know, it's unfortunate, but that's what we got to do. We got to put that on all of our stuff. But,
yeah.
So yeah, does
because everybody's like stuff. Donna told me to.
Yeah, go ahead and make that argument, Court.
You know, that's what you did when you were kids. Like every time you did something stupid. Why'd you do that? David told me to.
Mm-hmm. Us, that I was always the one that, you know, Donna told me to do it. I always got in trouble because, you know, they would take one look at me and know I did tell them to do it.
Yeah.
But I was into sales and charm back then. My mother said she actually saw me convince my younger sister to trade like a truck or something she was playing with for a freaking sweater because it's the first thing I found.
I got a BB gun for Christmas one year and convinced my sister to hold a match, a wooden match in her hand, and let me stand back 20 feet and try to strike it by shooting the match. Needless to say, shot her finger.
Now, I had my finger shot with a BB before. But that's because I was doing a physics test.
That's what this was. It was
a physics. I had a theory that if you could get the BB to hit the slide, it would actually slow it down. And physics says that's true. But when you shoot the BB, if it hits the slide, it will ricochet. Also a physics thing that apparently I had not absorbed at that point.
Yeah. It's the same type of physics you learn in billiards.
Uh-huh. That's physics and geometry. All right, so let's get on to our two more OCR settlements to close out the year. We're recording this. They could have thrown some more at us. We've now learned that since it happens almost every time we record, it feels like these days.
Yep.
So
alrighty.
We got two really good ones, but then again, not.
Yeah, it's not anything new. We've talked about these things in the past, like don't do this, and yet people are still doing it.
Well, you know, it's simple things like having a social media policy
and following it.
Well, just having it in the first place. Do you know how many people say, well, HIPAA doesn't say I need one of those? No, yeah. No. I guess it doesn't. You go ahead and go on without it. So, you know, it's one of our many policies that people argue about that you just have too many. Well, here you go. So this is our first up. What? Guess what? It's a dental practice, David.
No. Not another one. I have to say, though, I'm glad that the dental practices are getting the attention that they deserve.
That's a good statement. That's a fair statement. You know, because we all know, and we've talked about it, it's well known amongst the technical people anyway, that they tend to not be as interested in these things.
Let's just say they're HIPAA-SMIPAA-ish.
But anyway, you know, we've got plenty of cases. I mean, I even argue with my own dentist, which is funny.
Yeah, with their mouth open.
Just like, I don't care. You go ahead. You know, it's still a problem.
Have you ever tried to say HIPAA with your mouth open?
Okay. Moving on.
So, somebody's doing it in their car right now. Somebody's doing it.
Or at their desk. All right, so let's talk about New Vision Dental, NVD, in California, who will be paying $23,000 and going on a 2-year corrective action plan because they were responding to online reviews with information including PHI.
Not the first time we've seen this.
No, but, you know, I believe the last time I saw it, it involved it could have been a small practice, but I thought it was a dentist. But here we go. basically their reviews, they were responding, and apparently it was the doctor doing it, the owner and CEO. You want to read our traditional start is what the press release says is what they want you to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to hit the quote, boss?
Yeah. So this is from OCR director, and she says, "This latest enforcement action demonstrates the importance of following the law even when you are using social media. Providers cannot disclose PHI or their patients when responding to negative online reviews." Oh, by the way, they can't do it with positive online reviews either.
No. No.
"This is a clear no."
In all caps, no.
Yeah. OCR is sending a clear message to regulated entities that they must appropriately safeguard patients' PHI. We take complaints about potential HIPAA violations seriously, no matter how large or small the organization.
Hmm.
Period.
Dot at the end of the sentence.
Yeah.
You know, so it is, as you would expect, you know, we shouldn't have to tell them this kind of thing is mm-hmm. the attitude. And I totally get it. But if you're never even taking it seriously in the first place, things like this will get past you. Mm-hmm. And I get it that and I've talked with practices, it's like, what do we do when we have an attack online, whether it's warranted or whatever, and, you know, we can't defend ourselves. And we create a standard response that goes out, whether it's a compliment or a complaint or whatever. We appreciate all of our patients and would love to handle one-on-one, you know, something to that kind of thing, so that they're prepared to respond in an exactly the same way every time. But not well, let me tell you, when you came in with your, you know, blah, 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 your breath was nasty and, I don't know what they said. But, you know, there were a couple of things that were in, you know, we always talk about the importance of don't just read the press release. Go read the document because there's better stuff in there. Usually. And what I found interesting, which I can't recall ever seeing, granted, we've seen a lot of these, but I do not recall ever seeing them mention that they went on site as part of this investigation.
Oh, really?
I know, right? I went, whoa, back up. Did I read just, yeah, I did. And I can't think of a, It's in the agreement. It's in the details of the agreement under the, here are the facts and what they found. And this is it. So what's interesting, this goes back to November 2017.
Oh, goodness.
OCR received a complaint saying that NVD had impermissibly disclosed protected health information on its Yelp business page. So Dr. Brandon Aw, AU, which chemistry people go gold. You know how it goes. Who apparently owns the practice and the CEO because he signed the agreement with that, would respond to patient comments that included their PHI. And yes, we've seen this before, but, you know, apparently they did it a lot. Because... the complaint said they have a habit of it, basically. Ooh. So they went and looked, and they
would that be a policy?
No, right? Maybe that was their policy. We will release everything. So the complaint had said that they habitually disclose PHI when responding to patients' posts on social media, and it's like, huh? And said that they provided full names of patients, even when the patient didn't use their name in the posting, which you're not allowed to do. And they also included detailed information about the visit and insurance. And, you know, it's like, okay.
Like a smear campaign.
I Well, let me tell you what happened.
Here's the thing that I question is like, okay, if you're habitually disclosing PHI when you're responding to a negative complaint, apparently you're getting a lot of negative complaints. I mean, for this to be a problem that it's habitually, I don't know, man.
If I'm reading that on Yelp, there's a lot of things that'll make me turn away, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize, you know, because if you report to OCR that this is out there available on the internet, mm-hmm. whether it be I can access my records or I can access this spreadsheet full of data, and they give you a link, the first thing OCR does is not call you and ask you if that's happening. They go look.
Let me see.
They just say, well, I got the link. Let me go look. And they're mm-hmm. able to read it themselves. It's all public information. And they're like, yeah, that's what's happening. So it's not like we need to investigate whether or not it's happening. It clearly is happening. So the investigation is, what? Why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm. First-hand knowledge.
Mm-hmm. So they notified, so it happened at the end of November 2017. So they notify them in 2018, the compliance with the privacy rule was being investigated. And the dates got all kind of squirrely with this one. But anyway, you know how the letters come. They're requesting for information, and then that goes back and forth. We know how all that happens. But then I saw this part. That on March 1st, 2019, OCR did an on-site visit as part of its investigation.
Hmm.
I know. That's what I said. So officially, the way that the violations that they were facing, that the civil money penalties would have been applied to, are the violations. And then the settlement means, okay, we're not going to talk about the violations. We're going to get better. We promise. Here's our promissory note. No, but
please don't post about us on social media.
I know, right? I can see now in a Yelp review from them of OCR, but no. Anyway, there was an impermissible disclosure of PHI. Well, we know that. Failed to have minimum content required in their NPP.
Wow.
Yeah. So I can tell you right now, there are a number of times where people will ask me, you know, about something, something, something. We think we have this covered or whatever. First thing I do is go look at their MPP on their website and see if it has all the elements it's supposed to have. And that, A, more importantly, can I freaking find it?
Yeah.
You know, because it's supposed to be easy to find. And it, you know, often is not. And then it has to have specific content.
Well, I mean, most of the ones I see are the exact example that was put out a few years ago, you know, with the little multicolored folders on it and all that.
Yeah. And that one doesn't even have all the content it's supposed to have. But I.
Yeah. But it usually still has, you know, enter practice name here.
Yeah.
On it as well. So.
Yeah. And the little block. Quote, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
So, you know, in the cap, there's a lot of the normal develop the policies and procedures for the privacy rule training. You got limited time frames. And then I saw the last item underneath the section that said the minimum content that must be in their policies and procedures. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. Note to self. Maybe I should share that with others. So I am.
There's a podcast for that.
Yes, there is. Policies, so this is under minimum content of the policy. They have to develop the policies and procedures in a specific amount of time. This is the minimum content required. Policies and procedures to comply with the breach notification rule. Remember, we're all about the privacy rule in this one. Everything mm-hmm. had been about the privacy rule, and all of a sudden, breach notification rule, because technically, those are all requiring a breach notification.
I'm notifying you on Yelp that you've been breached. No.
Including NVD's internal reporting procedures, which will require all workforce members to report to the designated person or office at the earliest possible time any potential violations of the privacy, security, or breach notification rules or of NVD's privacy and security policies and procedures.
Well, that would mean that they would have to have some knowledge of the privacy rule, security rule, and breach notification rule, as well as the policies and procedures.
Yes, and the policies and procedures. Such reporting procedures shall require NVD to promptly investigate and address all received reports in a timely manner. So up until that moment, it had been all about privacy rule, you know, impermissible disclosures, minimum necessary, having a proper NPP. They didn't have, and the third thing was failed to implement policies and procedures for handling PHI on social media and public platforms. Oh, yeah, that thing that no one thinks that they need, that HIPAA doesn't say you need, there it is telling you it needed. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden now we got breach notifications, security policies and procedures, and the fact that everybody needs to know who to report, you know, the designated person or office, any potential violations of privacy, security, or breach notification rules, or their policies and procedures.
Sounds like that on-site visit might have been telling.
Well, you know, I always say you can walk into any office and ask three questions and know just how their culture of privacy and security is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should tell those three questions, huh?
Who's your IT company? How much do you pay for telephone service? No, I'm just kidding.
No, but, I mean, it is.
What's in your wallet?
What's in your wallet? Everyone in the organization should know the answers or an appropriate response. Let's go with that to these three questions.
Yep. And if you come to the boot camp, we'll give them to you.
There you go. If you're waiting around, okay, now we're giving you the pause. The three questions are, who are your privacy and security officer? Because you should at least say, I may not know the person, but I know how to contact them. Mm-hmm. Right? I know... It's whoever answers the email at privacy@mydomain.com or, you know, something along those lines. You know, I have to know who they are so that I can reach them. If I can't reach them, I can't do what I'm supposed to do. What is an example of a breach of PHI? Okay, just any example. Just give me one. An example of a breach. Now, a lot of times I'll hear things like, get up out of my chair and not sign off. That is a violation of policy. That is not a breach of PHI. So Right now, they don't know the difference. That tells me they don't know the difference between violation of policy and a breach of PHI. Okay, but let's say that they do know, and then they have some idea. Oh, I don't know, posting patient information in response to a social media review. We could call that a breach of PHI. And then the third question is, what do you do if there is a potential breach of PHI? Well, the answer is contact number one. But
yeah,
again, if you ask those questions, they shouldn't be completely new concepts to any person in the organization.
Yep. And HIPAA gets blamed for so much because people don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one of my employees this week said, I've got to take off 30 minutes early to drive to the doctor's office to sign a piece of paper that they didn't have me sign when I was there. And he said, I think it's that HIPAA thing they make you sign. And I said, just tell them to email it to you. He said, I did. And they said they couldn't do it. It was a HIPAA violation. And I was like, oh my gosh.
And technically, he has the right not to sign it.
Yeah.
You know? You can't, anyway.
Yeah.
there shouldn't be. I mean, there are a very minute number of things, very, very narrow area where that should have happened. But it's not out of the question. So I found that thing very, very interesting, how everything was tied together in there. Because so often you see cases where, well, all I'm going to focus on are the things that are in here. And that was like a giant catch-all. But it led you into it thinking you're talking about breach notification. And then as you really read it, no, I'm talking about making sure I have policies and procedures that everybody understands for HIPAA privacy and security and breach notification. So that was number one. And it, you know, is the biggest deal because the second one they announced was number 42 in the Right of Access Initiative. 42nd case. If you haven't been paying attention, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. It's like you just want to walk in the door and say, you've had 41 times that you've been told. Or as my mom used to say, for the 41st time.
It's true. 4011. You know, for the 87th time. I don't know why that, Carlos, 87. Everything's 87. I need 87 of them. Anyway, this is a primary care group called Health Specialists of Central Florida. Because we can't talk about one of these and that nothing is in tied to the Southeast. and this one is, instead, the previous one was $23,000 and a 2-year cap. This one's $20,000 and a 2-year cap.
All righty.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same thing where they ask for their deceased father's records and made multiple requests, never did get them. And then once OCR contacts the office, oh, like magic, they show up. But, you know, it was 5 months after the initial thing. And it again, you know, but you want to hit Melanie Rainier. I'm never going to get that right, but it's easier than the other one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, her quote.
Sure. So OCR Director Melanie, she says, the right of patients to access their health information is one of the cornerstones of HIPAA and one that OCR takes seriously. We will continue to ensure that healthcare providers and health plans take this right seriously and follow the law. Today's announcement speaks to the importance of accessing information and regulated entities taking steps to implement procedures and workforce training to ensure that they are doing all they can to help patient access.
Basically, they're like, you know, we are. We don't know what else to say.
Yeah. They're like, okay, well, you know, how many more is it going to take before the word gets out?
You know, it shouldn't require a phone call from a federal authority to get your records.
Yeah. So if you're listening now, we have covered all 42 of these. This is your 42nd warning to get this right.
Yeah, look into it. You know, but really, I mean, we've been spreading that news that it requires really for you to go through, check your policies and procedures, check what you're charging, check what your turnaround time is, check how, if you've got a vendor handling it, check what the vendor's doing. That is what you should be doing. And then audit some cases for like pick a week or whatever, randomly pull files and see how it went. But they did the settlement document. I did see this and it reiterated that this is a settlement instead of, you know, the difference between people often say, well, I got fined. Not if you do a settlement. If you do a settlement, it's not a fine. And then there was a section in there, in consideration of the party's interest in avoiding the uncertainty, burden, and expense of formal proceedings, parties agree to resolve this matter according to the terms and conditions set out below. So it's just an opportunity to reiterate, this is not a fine. This is settlement with the federal government to prevent from paying a fine.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you know. And then there was another specific note in there, in their cap. You know, just because, you know, we say you should review your policies and procedures every year, and we help people build a plan. I'm going to review X number of procedures every month so that they're constantly, A, getting the reviews done, but more importantly, evaluating their program,
mm-hmm.
but without doing it in a giant project. You know, the one bite at a time approach.
Yep.
What do I see but confirmation of that recommendation? It's always a proud moment. The covered entity shall assess, update, and revise as necessary the policies and procedures at least annually or as needed.
Yep, which means it may be more frequently than annually.
But at least annually.
Yep.
Not.
So there's your answer.
Not, does anybody know where the policies and procedures are?
Uh-huh.
You know, we haven't had to make any changes. But have you reviewed them? Well, no, because we didn't need to make any change. Okay.
It's all the same. We flipped through it. It looked good.
Yeah. Yeah, we felt good about it. It was all okay.
I mean, at least dust it off annually.
Yeah, it's like when they pull the three-ring binder that kind of creaks because it's so new, it hasn't been opened, and moths fly out, and there's dust on it. You know, it's that. Those kind of policies and procedures are the problem. And so often we're trying to explain, it literally is a regular issue that people don't get. You don't just buy the templates and fill in your name and you've done the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a paperwork thing. It is a thing that makes sure everybody's following the same plan, the same rules, and all the steps that need to be taken are taken every single time. That's what it's all about.
And this is how you're going to run your business. This is the culture of compliance within your organization.
Well, we call it the culture of privacy and security.
There you go.
It's not, it doesn't create such a negative response as compliance does.
Culture of PriceHack.
There you go. That's it. Bring us back around to the PriceHack boot camp, where we will explain not only that you need policies and procedures, but why they're so important and what happens when you don't, when you just share, when they always say, well, I told so-and-so how to do it because somebody else taught me how to do it. And, you know, that one-on-one thing we find is way better than having it written down on paper. Yeah, we'll fix that discussion. But it is a key piece where we'll actually explain, you know, how do you go through this? And everybody focuses on what does the document say? And the Cardin way is to focus on not, oh, I need a template so I know what to put in here. It is on what is the business decision that needs to be made? What are my options for each of these required elements? And there are tons of areas I want to solve. Why do we have to create all these forms? I would love to not have to create a paper form. However, everybody uses a different system. So how else can we do it? You know, there's a lot of problems to solve.
Mm-hmm.
But it's working together to solve the problems, not ignoring the problems, is a big piece of what we do at the PriceHack Bootcamp. It's just like when I have a new thing where my new presentation I've been doing is everybody's on the cybersecurity team. It takes all of us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a room full of non-technical people saying, you are on the team. And if you go to the table and your IT people just keep telling you no, then you need to send them to me so I can explain. We have to address the problem. No is not the answer. No does not change that the need exists.
Right.
So that's where the policy and procedure discussions are. That's where they need to be, is in those decisions and those discussions of how do we get there, not, hey, does this have all of the legal things it's supposed to have? That's just
that's true.
That's it. It is what it is, and that's not going to change.
Yep. So you better learn it now. So head on over to the practiceatbootcamp.com to learn more, get your tickets, and be educated like the rest of us.
And welcome to 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome. Here it comes. As we prepare for the winter storm. All right, folks, that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. Be sure to share us out with all your friends. And if you don't have any friends, then just share it.
If you don't have any friends, reach out to us. We'll be your friend today. Not tomorrow, today. But today. It's like free beer tomorrow.
Yeah. Gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. All right, for Donna and myself, remember, the HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.